some bottles of water, and a Sprite fell out. And if it wasn't for that Sprite, I don't know. I said, that was the Lord, because this is the best Sprite I've ever tasted. But it was hot, but we had such an awesome time. So today was a lay low day. I'll tell you, the Lord helped me last night at prayer. While we were praying, the Lord just dropped a thought into my heart, and it was like the whole thing, just, you know, a package deal. I didn't see it all, but I knew the concept that I was to talk about. And as I got into it today, it just was so easy. I said, Lord, you know, you do good to us. You wouldn't believe the sound of my house. I could have been up here, but that would have left my wife and my mother-in-law to tame those two grandbabies. And I like being around them. They are the cutest thing, and we're creating memories. So I'm right in the midst of it all, and the Lord really did help me. I promise you that. Because I normally, a distraction like that, and I just can't think. But these moments are rare that we can have them here. You know, this is the second time that Cohen's been with us, the first time that Sylvie's been away and been with us. So it will be about 2 weeks we'll have them. And that's not counting last week in Anna Maria Island we was with them. So it's been just a good time. But no matter what, I'm here tonight because I want to, as I had to tell my grandson. You know, why are we going to church again? Why do y'all have church like this? You know, didn't you have church already? I went. You know, he paid his dues. We have a lot of church. Amen. James chapter 5, and my title tonight, so I want to give you that. So as I'm reading, maybe it'll stick to something. But I want to talk about the X Factor, not the TV show, because when I typed in X Factor, that's the thing that came up, and I was like, what in the world? I was in math class, and when I was in math class, we talked about the X and Y points and the X factor and the Y factor. So the X factor it's the unknown factor or the variable. It's not a TV show created by Simon Cowell, as I read today. So I want to talk about that part, the real one that was out from before time, and that is the X factor, the unknown factor, or the variable. James chapter 5, verse 14 and 16 is, and the New King James, is there any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I want to tell you that I've prayed prayers that were not effectual and fervent. The effectiveness of them, you know, I don't know. There's some that we probably feel like we left them hanging there like laundry. But I know not all my prayers are fervent. And I've had God answer non-fervent prayers. Fervent means heated. You know, you put a little more oomph in it, more effort, more emotion into it. We know fervency. Fervency, that's when it demands a little bit more of us. Preaching that's fervent gets attention because there's passion in it. There should be anyway. Amen. And so it's telling us in James this great concept that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, the man's got to be righteous, because if you're not a clean vessel, then it's polluted in the first place before it ever gets to the throne of God. So that's why the first thing we need to say is, Lord, if I've got anything, please forgive me. You know, forgive me, God, to look over me and let me be clean before you, and don't hold anything back, just reveal it to me. We need to be clean vessels before we ever get started. But God is great. My first point, it's deep. God is great. But our participation can determine how great. He's a great God. But there's some stuff hanging on the line that's yet to be determined, because my fervency and your fervency is going to determine just how great God's going to be in a particular circumstance. He's awesome. But he can be more awesome depending on your fervency and how much you want to put into it.
Amen.
So truly, your participation will determine how great God is. I'll go to the Old Testament for a illustration. 2 Kings 13, verse 14 through 19. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. He's on his deathbed, in other words. And Joash, the king of Israel, not a righteous king, by the way. There had many that weren't. He was not. But he was out of ideas and options. And he came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You are our hope." Now, he may have meant it, or he might have just been buttering him up. But he said, "You are it. You're the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him straight away, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria." The arrow you just saw, he said, you visualized deliverance flying through the air. That was it right there. "For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them." That was the promise you have right there. That's a promise from the prophet of God. But verse 18, he says, now he puts it in his lap. He said, "Take the arrows," and he took them. Joash did. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite the ground." Here is where his part came into play a great deal. He said, "Smite the ground." He didn't tell him how much, but if he believes in the power of God and the word of the man of God, he should have taken those arrows and wore them out, hitting the ground. He should have looked like a crazy man, beating him until there's nothing but just little shrivels of wood pulp, because he wants the victory. But he just hit the ground three times and stayed. And the man of God, rightly so, was wroth with him and said, "Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times, then hast thou smitten Syria, till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." You just determined how many victories you're going to have over the enemy you came all this way to ask my help for. But when I put it in your hands, you limited the ability of God, because there's part of it is always going to be how much participation that I'm going to put into the circumstance. We can drop a prayer, just drop it over the edge there and say, "Lord, help me, you know I need it." Sometimes children are involved. Sometimes a family's involved. God loves the little children. Amen. God loves marriages. He'll do anything to keep it together. But if we don't put enough into it, the children are going to suffer. That's why he said, "Suffer the little children. Tolerate the children and let them come unto me." Whatever we do, we need to make it at least for the sake of the children. Amen. Think about the children is what Jesus' attitude was. And I'll always make room for them. So there was a factor in prayer. There is a factor, and there's always a factor in prayer and our overall service to God. And it's wide open. It's truly wide open. When we pray, you know, so much of it is about our attitude as it is our asking. We can ask Him for the world, but what is my attitude saying? How do I feel about what I'm saying? Do I really believe what I'm asking? I'm quite sure that I've prayed pointless prayers and wasted a great deal of time, and I've prayed effective prayers in a short amount of time. I know that.
Yes.
I've prayed before at prayer meeting. I'll be up here praying and you know, walking back and forth, and suddenly I come back too. I'm thinking, where was I? And what was I thinking just now? I got off on something. I might have solved a problem somewhere, but it wasn't in God's kingdom. You know what I have to do is go back to where I dropped everything and add some intensity to my prayers. I need to be a little more intentional, because I just lost track. Can you imagine if you're about 2 weeks from your wedding and the groom's talking to his bride-to-be and she's talking about all of these things, the plans, and everything's coming together, and he just suddenly says, hold it. The last 10 minutes, I didn't hear a thing you said. Dial tone. You know, it'd be that hang-up. That's kind of what I do sometimes. Not all the time, but it happens. Enough for me to admit it to you and not feel too bad about it either. I don't know what's wrong with that. There's an X factor in prayer and service to God. Our prayer and our service to God. And it is our own participation that is the X factor. How we react to prayer needs and how we participate in following up is everything. If it really is a big deal, all right, if it's a big deal on a prayer meeting night, or if it's a big deal on a Sunday, it should be a big deal Monday through the next Sunday also. In other words, we need to be intense about it and say, Lord, I'm back again because I want a change. And you may feel a change, but go ahead and keep on praying. Don't leave it hanging on a nail, but get involved in the process and say, I really want this thing to come about. I believe today, and this is what I felt so strong last night, is that the answer that we need is going to be determined by our participation in the process. Amen. We could forget it or we could hang on to it. In the parable of the talents, the landowner gave out 1, 2, and 5 talents to those servants. Remember that? And while the 2 and the 5, they doubled theirs. Mr. 2 had 4, Mr. 5 had 10. But the man who received 1, he said, where is it at? He goes, I found it. I had it buried by a tree. I wrapped it in a cloth. It's all protected, but there's your talent. He goes, you're a slothful and you're an unwise servant, unfaithful to me. You know what he told him? He said, you could have taken this and invested it. I'm not looking for you to double it. I'm glad they did, but I'm not holding you to their standard. You could have just put it in the bank, and it could have drew a little interest. If I could have got 1.1 from it, I'd have been excited and satisfied. But it got 0. It was worth more if you would have invested, if you'd have just done something with it instead of just letting it go. Not everybody can testify of God healing them or doing great miracles in their life. But we all should have something to say God has blessed me with. We all should say, hey, I've got something I gave to God. And I hung on until he came through for me. Amen. There's got to be something that in our world that we can say, God, we need you to come through. And he will. I'll tell you, we get bothered a lot. God doesn't give us perfect lives. I thought getting married then, you know, a lot of trials would end, and because two people, you know, walk together and they, you know, they both are together, they won't fall in the ditch or whatever. So I thought, we're going to have this blessed life. And it wasn't as blessed as, you know, I'd hoped, because we both had to work. I'm at work, she's at work, different places. We're apart. I'd go pick her up for work. That was one of the best parts of the day. Stinking, smelly construction workers. And then I get there and my wife gets in the car and says, you smell really bad. I didn't care. That was all right with me. Because, you know, we're married. But it's got some challenging times to it. In early years, there were some challenges. And it's not all her. Trust me, I was a challenge. But it blended us together. In other words, you got to rise to the challenge when there's a challenge. You have to invest in a marriage. You can't just leave it out there and say, I hope it does all right. Some people get a pet and they just put it outside and hope it finds its way around. You hear it howling all night and you realize, oh, they're just putting it outside. You know, it could be a parakeet and you got to pay attention to a parakeet. I mean, whatever it is, we've got to spend time to make anything outside of who we are. Any relationship has to have an investment factor involved in it. Amen? So, fervency. I want to talk about that. The intensity of our request is a factor that can't be overlooked. And it's not fervency for the sake of being fervent. Lord, I'm going to raise my voice. I'm going to do like this. No, it's got to be fervency from a cause. You know, your kids ask you for things, and their fervency and their continual asking. Jesus used that illustration. If your son asks for bread, you don't give him a stone. Fish, not giving him a serpent. You know, he said, you're going to give your children what they ask for. But we also know that we're not going to give our kids everything they ask for. They ask unreasonable things sometimes. Let's buy a boat. Let's buy a ship. Let's buy a spaceship. You know, when they're young, they don't know what these things cost. And we can't do everything that they wanted us to do. But we do what's within reason. But if they will persist, that's when it really gets us, isn't it? A child that will persist gets you right here, gets your heart. You'll move heaven and earth. You'll move to do whatever they want you to do for them. I remember when I got my first bike, I didn't know if there was another way to ask or not. I'd ask every which way I could. I would talk about my friend's new bike. If somebody at school got a bike, I'd come home talking about his new bike. And, you know, mom and dad just, well, one of these days. That word, one of these days, was like a plague. One of these days could be from now until after the Lord comes. It was like so far. And one day I came home and they said, guess what? Next Friday, you're going to get a new bike. And I went to school, and show and tell that day was, I'm getting a bike on Friday. I don't have it yet, but I'm going to have it. And it's going to be from Western Auto, and it's going to be a brand new bike. And I just want y'all to know. And that was my show and tell. That was my testimony. I went home that day, and my bike was there. My dad was putting it together. My cousin's bike was there, and our pastor was putting his together. And we both got the same matching, cool, awesome bikes with purple metal flake and the banana seat. There's no better day up to that point in my life. It came on Monday or Tuesday instead of Friday. It couldn't have been any better. But I'll tell you, there was some fervency involved in my asking to get that. And my parents knew what I wanted and how they could afford it and what to do. The intensity is a factor. We can't overlook it. And we know that intense worship moves God, so it should be no stretch that fervent prayer is more powerful than mild mentioned requests. Not just getting the voice up, but the passion that you have in the asking. And do I want to settle for the life I have and settle for my issues and my problem and the dysfunctions? Or do I want to stand on something and say, God, I need you to come through, or else I don't know what we're going to do if you don't come through, God? That's intense. That gets God's attention. And when you have that feeling that you know he's your only way, it gets his heart. It touches him right here. He's affected by the feeling of your needs and also your infirmities. But God will come through for you when you get a hold of his heart, when you ask with faith, believing. Not asking like an orphan that has no parent, but saying, God, I'm yours. You're mine. I'll tell you, just to sneak something in here, it helps if y'all been on good terms lately too. Amen. It helps if you and God have been getting along really well, and instead of coming up saying, I hate to bother you. Hate to bother you? Do I know you? Your children don't say that. You know, our kids had a way of asking us. They would come up and you know, and instead of tapping on the door, they would just open the door and walk in. And, hey, I needed something. And we knew that. And so we had to always be, you know, aware of the sudden door openings and the request at midnight or whatever it might be. The Lord knows your heart. He knows it. Importunity. God, I need you now. The Lord, I don't believe he's happy with the attitude of, I don't really deserve those sort of things. And, you know, I don't know if God would. I would ask and he probably will string it out. He likes you to know that he loves to give good gifts to those who ask him. That's Bible, amen, right there. That's Bible. You know, preaching is the vehicle God has chosen to save people. And fervent preaching is akin to intense appeals. Preaching saves people. And so I could be non-fervent and just speak in a monotone voice and say, you just need to take notes, write it down, go out, look up the scriptures, and trust me, it's all right. But I feel what I preach. Every preacher does. You should feel something about what you preach. And you know that God's backing you up every time. It's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. Our overall fervency in serving God will make a difference in our growth due to the outpouring of blessings all around our life. Amen. God likes a little bit of emotion sometimes. Amen. He loves us to be fervent. Praise God. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication to all saints. Jude 1:20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So Ephesians 6:18 used the term in the Spirit. Jude used the term praying in the Holy Ghost. In the Spirit. So, my first point is participation. My second point is fervency. And my third point is in the Spirit. This is a Bible lesson, so I'm just leading you right down the path here. I have heard the term, somebody, you know, gives out a message in tongues, and I've heard the comments later, they were in the Spirit. I'm not going to talk about the negative comments I've heard where they said that they weren't in the Spirit. I'm talking about the ones where they said they were in the Spirit. Because somebody's going to be used in the gifts, you want them to be in the Spirit. But have you ever broke that down and thought, what is it? Can you be out of the Spirit? Can you be halfway in the Spirit? I've seen that. When somebody had good intentions, a lady gave an interpretation one time, and she stood up after the message in tongues went forth, and she said, "Behold, I come very, very quickly." I'm no kidding. It might have been the gist of what was there, but I don't think the Lord would have said, "I'm not kidding with you, folks. I kid sometimes, but this time I'm serious." But her "I'm no kidding" part kind of muted a little bit to some degree. But I want to break this down, though. I want to break this down in the Spirit. First of all, we are all right now in the flesh. I'm in the flesh tonight. You are too. Nobody's floated away. Everybody's here. No angel wings here. We eat, we sleep in the flesh. Our earthly minds conduct and convey us through this life. So when you pray, you are very much aware of it and involved in it. Now, I realize we can pray in the Spirit. We can pray in the Holy Ghost. Intercessory prayer. We can pray in a way that we are being guided by the Lord. But I want to make this real simple. Studied it, compared it, looked it up. And basically what in the Spirit means here is aided by God, helped by the Spirit. Doesn't mean you're in a mode that you do not know what's going on. Now, I know we can be lost in the Holy Ghost. That's something else in our worship. I realize that. But in this context of Jude and Ephesians, praying and prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, same thing. But it means you're being aided or helped by God in what you're praying for. Because the Spirit of God makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. It's something stirring inside that we feel. And sometimes all we're doing is going, Oh God. And you don't know the words, but there's something you're giving birth to an answer through the groanings. Oh God. And the Holy Ghost is helping you. And in your mind, you're picturing the answer you need. And you're just forcing it over. And you don't know the wherewithal and how God will, but you're pushing it forward. God is helping you do that. That's praying in the Spirit. It's losing yourself and the track of time and purpose, and you're just saying, "I want the will of God." I've come away from those prayer meetings realizing, God, it's in your hands. You're about to do something great. And I've come out of those prayer meetings saying, "Lord, you turned me around and changed my mind. Now I see it differently. Everything's good the way it is." Because when God helps you, He can either help you pray more or help you see better. And sometimes it's a little bit of both of those. These things right here, God will help us with. Trust me, because God's on your side. He wants what's best for you and what's best for me. When you pray in the Spirit, it just means that the Spirit of God is at your side and He's aiding you, because He wants what's right for you too. And He will help lead and guide you into all truth in your prayer life and what you're asking Him to do. Point number 4, cast again. This is my favorite point. Not because it's the last one. I don't have anywhere to go. I mean, I like being here. But I do know that our attention span, my attention span, I'm not trying to push something off on you all, but about 8:30, you know, that's why I try to bring it to a close. And so I've got just 15 minutes, and that's a perfect amount of time for this scripture. John 21:4-6. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered Him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Now the setting, of course, John writes more about Jesus than any of the other Gospels. He gives more detail post-Calvary than anyone else does. So this is not in any of the other Gospels. They end pretty abruptly after his ascension or his resurrection. But John writes quite a bit more because there were some more things that happened, the details leading to actually his ascension in the day of Pentecost. And here they all had seen him. They had touched him, and even Philip, that wasn't there the first time he appeared, touched him. You know, he said, reach in your hands and feel. So they saw him. But now Simon says, Jesus had left the scene again, and he said, I'm going fishing, and the others said, I'll go with you. And there, you know, there was like four, and then, but there was more than them there. So the crowd picked up. We don't know how many disciples were there, if it was all the 11 that were available. We don't know, but they were there while Simon was out in the boat fishing. And they fished all night. And he said, children, do you have any food? And they said, no. He said, then cast your net. They don't know who he is. They said, cast your net on the right side, and you will find some. That sounded familiar. Just to cast the net on the other side, that's, you know, you're in the ocean or you're in a sea. The difference between this side and that side, as far as fish go, there's no dividing line. It was just a maneuver. And I'm sure it sounded familiar. And of the last words was this command that Jesus gave. This was one of the last commands he gave to them as a group. But their key point is this here. Jesus went from being with them. Remember, they were in a boat. They were in a boat when the storm came and he went to sleep. And they woke him up and he said, why don't you have faith? And he said, peace be still. And then they were in a boat without him and he walked on stormy water and got into the boat. And the storm ceased. Remember, Simon jumped out to go to Jesus and took a few steps and fell, and he picked him up. But most of the time, he was in the boat with them. It was either he was in there or he eventually got in the boat. But notice this scene is he's on the shore and they're in the boat and he speaks to them. Now remember the miracle walking on the water, and Simon walked on water and Jesus calmed that storm. The earlier storm was whenever he's asleep in the back of the boat and they woke him up and said, Lord, do you not care that we perish? And he stood up and says, why do you don't have faith? Peace be still. And there was a great calm. No more wind, no more. See, he was in the boat. Here he's on the shore, they're in the boat, and he commands a miracle. Throw your nets on the other side. They did, and they pulled in a large number of fish and drug the net ashore. The net didn't break. They caught some before and the net broke. This something was divine about this. But I never really thought about this, but here he was saying, I'm not with you, but I'm telling you what to do, and you're having the success without me. I'm on the shore. And when they got up on the shore, what they're catching to eat, he's already got fish and bread just cooked on the coals. It's been baked for him. It's ready for him. So he says, come and dine. Come and dine. This is for you. So here they're dragging fish ashore, and he's preparing a meal for them. This is an awesome picture right here. They're busy doing what the gospel tells them to do. They're doing what they were told to do by Jesus. And while they're pulling the food ashore, he's got food for them to eat. He's already provided for them. This is good, but this is miraculous. And so while they're involved in doing the natural, he enhances the natural. He blesses them with what they went out there to do, and that is to go fishing. In case you needed some fish, in case you thought you needed income, that's what their job was before Jesus 3.5 years ago. So he blessed this, but when they got ashore, he said, but look, I can still do this. So now we're putting all of this together, because we have a God that can work in the miraculous and work in the natural, and it can be the same thing. He will bless you with your job, and he'll bless you on your job. and you can be a fisherman on your job, but he also will bless you when you're not at that job, but you're also at the job of just worshiping him. And so there's going to be a blessing throughout. Amen? Because they left houses and everything and watched him perform miracles. Now he's saying, I'm putting this in your hands, and you're going to learn that wherever you go, there's going to be times when you're going to speak to the mountains, and you're going to speak to the deaf and to the blind, and you're going to see greater works than I've done, you're going to do. And here he's ushering them into that greater works. And they're realizing. And that's when he says, Simon, do you love me more than all of these other men? He goes, yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Lord, I love you. He let him say it three times because he denied him three times. He's making up everything, pulling them right back to where they had been, gluing it all together. And after Simon's like, I'm there. And he goes, you know, when you was young, they led you around, you know, like a little baby. He goes, when you're older, you're going to be bound in a way that you don't want to be. Right. He says, you're going to, and I think he demonstrated to him because they knew what he was talking about. Right. They knew exactly what Jesus said. He said, you're going to be bound, and it's not going to be, it's going to be against your will. In other words, follow me. That's why he asked him three times, and he said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then feed my sheep, my lambs, my feet, my sheep. Just follow me. Do what I have done. We can follow him because he's going to maintain us and he's going to bless us every step of the way. But the process of catching and cleaning, it's like other processes, like praying with faith and then waiting on the answer. We are all workers with the one who can easily provide for us. He easily can provide, but he expects us to go out there and get in the boat. Because most of the things we do involves the boat. It involves doing the work and building the kingdom. And it's a difficult work at best. And we pray and we sacrifice and we get some in and we worship over them. We rejoice and they may not stay, but we're rejoicing because it's God that's providing the souls for this church. And he's providing the spirit that brings revival. It's all in him. It's all in him. We don't have him here in the flesh. They did. He was training them to be able to worship him without him being there. He goes, I'm with you. Remember he said that? I will be in you. I'm with you, but I'm going to be in you. The concept was foreign to them, but they only had to wait a few weeks until the day of Pentecost came. And remember, it was Simon that stood up. The one that denied him three times, he's the one that stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, I think I have the authority to speak. I think I can tell you what's all going on, how these people are speaking in tongues. They don't know what they're saying. Right. Simon, the one that he said, oh, Lord, I don't know him. I don't know him three times, but he let him back in and he showed him. It's going to be that X factor. That X factor is the unknown factor. That's the God factor in everything that we do. We embarked so successfully in small groups. It blew my expectations. It's because you all bought into it. We're about to start a summer session. I have no doubts how great it can be. I have no doubts at all. And it wasn't I doubted us or any of you. I just didn't know about the concept, if we could embrace the concept. And I know leadership had much to do with the organizing it and presenting it to us in a great way. And it was such a success. And it's going to be a success again. Amen. Church, we have had, since we've started, starting point, is that it? I always think I'm going to say it the way that it was taught us, you know, but we're not the same, that church, we're this church, Grace Point. So it's starting point. Since we've started it, Jared, when did we start it? November? Somewhere in November we started, and it's 4 weeks.
It's been over a year, January of 2018.
January of 2018. I kept thinking that my wife and I went to Houston last fall. It wasn't. It was Jared and Chris. We had already been, came back. They wrote the manual up together. So for over a year, we've been having the four-week starting point classes every Sunday back there when Sunday school's going on. I don't think we've not had a class in there. We have a continual flow of new members taking starting point class. It's not all new converts. Many of it is new members. But that's the thing is, when we begin to organize the foundation, God has not stopped blessing the top part, and He's bringing souls into the church, amen. If we will get a hold of the net, then God is going to send the fish. If we dare to cast the net on the side, He tells us, look at what He's doing. He's filling up the net, thank God. He's blessing everything that we do. Because it's not just mindless activity. We've put a lot of hours of thought and work into this, and God is honoring every bit of it. Amen. So this next year, I go into this a believer. I was a believer before, but I was also educated. I've been in church so long, I know how to draw back a little bit and say, well, we don't want to be too disappointed, you know, but it's beyond everything, anything I could have ever hoped or imagined. And it's all for His kingdom. It's all for His kingdom. Isn't that amazing? We do our part, but we're conjoined with the spiritual work of the Holy Ghost as God leads us and guides us into all truth. That's that X factor, is we're doing our part, but your intensity, your fervency, and your faithfulness is going to cause the X factor to become the main factor. It's the main part. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us stand, shall we? My. I'm glad our situation's wide open when we pray, because the answer depends on fervent asking, fervent asking, fervent asking. What a mighty God we serve. I'd like to end this with prayer, of course. We started with prayer. Prayer in the middle. Let's have prayer at the end. If you feel challenged by any part of this lesson, I would like you to ask God to help you to turn up your fervency. He'll match it. He'll match it. All we need is just to be more fervent. We just need to have more intensity. Let's do that, shall we, right now? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your work and Your word. God, I thank You for having us today in Your hand, knowing which way to turn us, to the left and to the right, to guide us, Lord.